this time. You can turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3, 2-3. It's not a passage of scripture I've preached on before, although I'm excited to, and I'll give you context before we go there. It's Paul defending his apostolic ministry. Why? Because there are known, there are men known to be what's called super apostles or self-proclaimed teachers, false teachers that are coming in into the life of the Corinthian church, and actually they're starting to peddle the gospel for money. Okay, that's the context of this. And so Paul is writing and he's going, remember my established relationship with you. Is that scripture up again? Okay, sorry, V2's learning. Take it off. I can see people's minds already go. so he's saying, you know, remember my established partnership with you, man. I'm the guy that's been on the ground working into you as a congregation. And so what he does is he actually uses their qualifications because the guys are coming with letters of recommendation. And they've drawn it up amongst themselves, and they're going like, look, this guy, Josh, he's preached in this place to these people, and he does really well at it, and actually you should pay him to do that. So get him up here, pay him what he's due, and let him preach. And the problem is what he's bringing is not biblical. And so Paul's speaking into that, and he's going, you know what, actually it's not okay. It's not okay, and actually if you keep on with it, there's trouble. And so I'm going to use, and he does something brilliant. Like I almost want to say, it's God-given wisdom to Paul, and he uses the very qualifications they're arriving with to disqualify them. I love it. And so, how does he do it? You may put that scripture up, my friend. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, how are these words? Clearly, you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. And if that wasn't clear enough, black or white, Paul comes and he starts to color it in a little for them, okay? And he says this, this letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not of tablets of stone, but on human hearts. And so the focus today is fairly straightforward, and I'm going to break it into three parts. It's the letter itself, okay? The way in which this letter is to be written, and then, most importantly, the author. The author. And so the question that needs answering, and I hope that we can answer it today, or certainly in our hearts or over this next week, is this, that if our lives are likened to a letter, what would it say? What would it say? And so, if we were to be, as Paul would put it, read by all, would others know we are from Christ? Would others know we are from Christ? And it seems quite introspective, and I actually think that that's what the Lord wants to do today. It's because, you know, we're in a new area and I'm considering all the things that need to take place and the people that we need to reach and all of those things. But there is also an onus on us to make sure that what we have to give is going to be helpful for them. And actually we can, with confidence, know that the things that we believe are to be true, and those are hills that we'll die on, that we teach others to die on at the same time. And so the title of today's message is Letters from Christ. Letters from Christ. And so, anyone enjoy listening to the news here? Okay. No newsies. Oh my goodness. Is there anyone? Okay, Ruan. Fantastic. I've got one. Okay. I don't look at the news all that often. Okay. I do feel like it's a lot of bad news these days, and you don't know we call it Mary Poppins news. You know what that is? It's when ultimately they never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Okay, so it's a spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down. Enough sugar, we can change the medicine. Okay, and so we've got to be quite careful as to what we listen to and why. And I would say the best news that you could probably listen to is the good news. And so let's keep rooted in the pages, flipping, okay, not just on the phone. And so anyway, I'm quite surprised that these days it feels like you've got everything at your fingertips, am I right? We talked about the Bible, but now even newspapers. So for the millennials and Gen Zers and all the rest, okay, news used to come on paper. Like it used to be pressed, like actual paper. Okay, and I remember my, you guys are laughing, but it's true, okay? And I remember my dad and my grandfather, they would go down to the local Superette, okay? Anyone remember that? And they would come back with a newspaper, like actual paper, okay? And they would sit down, and my grandfather would do the crossword, and he would get involved in that, and my dad would look at, you know, and even in the newspaper, there was these sections called the bulletin board. Has anyone heard of the bulletin board? Okay, there's a couple others here, nods here. Still scared to put up your hands, but we'll get there, right? And the bulletin board was basically a section of the newspaper that was devoted completely to things like if there was a child born. So Olivia, Francois, you guys would have been in there. And we would be going, oh, that's so cool, you know, da, 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 because it would have taken us, you know, at least 5-6 hours to get to your farm because we would have to walk. No, I'm kidding. They did have cars. We did have cars. I'm going to get in trouble soon. All right, so... And so it would document things like births, it would document things like deaths, it would document things, what else would it be? Marriages, there we go, thank you Auntie Lynn, there we go. I've never actually personally seen a bulletin board, that's probably why, but I know it's there, okay, and there's marriages, and then you get the newsies. Do you guys know what the newsies are? This one, you're really going to give your age away. Okay, most would only know what a newsie is, or a newsboy, I'm not talking about the band, okay, newsboys, by seeing movies, and they would be the guys that are holding the latest paper, walking around going, extra, read all about it. Okay, you would know that from comics and Marvels and all those kinds of things. Am I right? Do you guys know it? You seen it in a movie? Yeah. Okay, wonderful. I'm just checking, I'm not the only one. And so I feel like this is, in a way, is what Paul is busy doing. He's going, you know what? This is the most important thing, is actually, he's the newsie of the new covenant going, the Lord entrusted something of the mystery of the gospel to me. I don't need a letter of recommendation. You are it. Extra, read all about it. Look at the church in Corinth. Look at them and read all about them because their lives are a testimony to our ministry. And so I had a little bit of fun this afternoon, and I must say it did restore somewhat of a hope. Now, I'm contradicting what I said earlier, in ChatGPT. I don't use it for much, okay? But I did have some fun with this one. All I did was put in a few words, and it was living epistles of Langebaan, okay? And the catchphrase needed to be to be known and read by all, okay? And that's basically a scripture. And I said, create a front page newspaper article for that. So I was thinking of maybe you can put it up. How good does that look, eh? Jeez. Hey? I thought we could maybe make it our profile picture for a while or something like that, eh? Or send it to the printing press, you know, where there's actual paper. And I must say, it's Langebaan Herald. I think we're onto something here, guys. And you can't see what's written there. But honestly, I don't know if this was God encouraging me at the last moment, that actually maybe there is something of the heart of God in this preach, or whether it's something for us to be encouraged by and to look forward to. But as you can read there, the only thing that they got wrong, I would say, is Saturday, 17th May. I don't know where that came in. Okay. Faith, community, purpose. Volume 1, number 1. Price, I like this especially. Free. Okay. Free. All right. And then it says this, and I didn't give it any, I almost want to say, heading. Maybe it picked up some of my search history and what I was preaching on, but I found this incredibly encouraging. It said this, a community living out a greater calling in a world searching for meaning. One local church in choosing a different path, not to be seen, but to be known for the right reasons. Not for their building, clearly, their programs, or their platforms, but for the one that they follow. They gather not for tradition, but for transformation. Not for performance, but for presence. At the heart of Langebaan, a people that are learning what it means to be living letters written not with ink, but with love. Their worship is more than music. It's a response. Their community is more than attendance. It's a family. Their mission is more than outreach. It's obedience. They are living epistles known by their love, read by their lives, and sent with purpose. And it ends with a scripture. You clearly are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Faith in action, page 2. Community impact, page 4. And then it says there, page 6, what next? And I thought, wow, how cool is that, man? Like, I was not expecting that, hey? I wasn't even going to read it. And I thought to myself, no, I actually can't keep that to myself. It's super cool, man. And I must say that whilst it's a ChatGPT thing and that put it together, and there might be something of a search history there that it's picked up on, I want to say that I do believe it's the heart of God for us. It's the heart of God for us. And it's not just a news article. It actually, it's something that the God has called us to, and he wants us to walk in. So how do we get there? And I, you know, I'm also aware, and this is why I think I've put out the call to prayer, is that we are facing different things. We have an enemy. You know that, hey? Huh? Okay, not to be feared, but we do have an enemy. He is real, okay? And we don't want to give more credit than when it is due, okay? But we do need to be aware of it. And so one of the greatest strategies of the enemy is actually taking us from being a living epistle, okay? Do you remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus and what it meant and how it burned in your hearts, huh? And you couldn't stop speaking about him, and everyone you went to were just like, yeah, I just want to share this with someone. Do you remember that? That's called a living epistle, okay? God's written something into your heart and you're sharing it with others. But the enemy is bent on making you a dead letter. He just wants to snuff the life of God in us. And it's something we need to be aware of and war against. And so, you may even be sitting here today, and you're faithfully attending church. And maybe you have for years, but you're bored with God. I'm going to say it again. You might be faithfully attending church, but you're bored with God. And I feel like the Lord wants to change that. And it's not something that you're going to walk out here, write a catchphrase down and go, oh, that really needs to change. And we're going to look at that in a moment. It's something that God does. And I want to trust that he does that today. Paul, again, in 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this, and it's the very thing we're speaking about. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Okay, deception, the enemy's greatest plan. You happily, how's this, verse 4, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one we received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. That is scary. And he says, we put up with it. Guys, we need to guard against it. Share story before it gets too deep, right? Not too long ago, Auntie Lynn, it's so good having you with us, but she was in hospital, and so we phoned her the one day, and we said, look, we'd love to come through. What are your visiting hours? And she said, look, I don't know, actually, if you're going to be allowed to come, but I've had this lady, she's a dietitian, and she's going to be sitting next to me for a certain amount of time, and if you can get to me in this time, you know what, I'll keep her there until you come. And I thought, we had a little giggle on the call. We said we're on our way, but we had a giggle at that one. Because if you know Auntie Lynn, if you were a dietitian going to sit next to Auntie Lynn, they're not going to last long, huh? And I thought about it as I was prepping today, and I thought it was a great example. Because, you know, here's this lady, however sweet, or I don't know if it was a lady or a guy, sitting next to Auntie Lynn. And she was probably sweet and trying her best, but Auntie Lydon was not putting up with what she was trying to change in her diet. And as funny as that is, I feel like for us, we cannot put up with things of the world and the influences that come that are trying to change the original diet of what God has already prescribed through his word. We cannot put up with this. I read this week. let me first say this. I don't like hospitals for the most part. Doctors can be scary too, okay? GPs, it does pay to really have one that you can trust and know, hey? But I don't know if you've ever sat across from a doc and they've done a little prescription for you, okay? And it's incredible because this guy knows like everything, okay? He's studied for years and years and years, or a lady. And then when they write it down, it's like they write a whole bunch of gibberish and you have no clue what he's just written there. And in faith, you've got to now take that piece of paper, you've got to go to a pharmacist and just hope that they understand what he wrote there. And I'm, please understand, I'm not cheating doctors. I've got friends who are doctors, and without them, we're lost. They're a gift from God. But I want to say that, you know, we treat it sometimes in the same way. I'll prove my point now. According to a report done by the IOM, okay, the Institute of Medicine, in 1999, so what's that, less than 30 years ago, if my maths is correct, sloppy handwriting on medical charts and prescriptions were responsible for up to 1.5 million injuries and thousands of deaths. That is hectic. That is hectic. And so my question is this. If church is the vehicle or the hospital by which people will come to salvation, okay, and come to healing and wholeness, and the gospel is the antidote for which they will make them whole and be healed, okay, and from which they'll be saved, I think there's some ownership on us to make sure that what is written in our hearts through the Spirit is in fact the true antidote, that it's not sloppy, that actually there's something of truth, that people can understand who God is because we're open and we're read by all, and what's there is Jesus. So let's look at those three points. And the first one is this, the letter itself. And this is you and me. I told you, it's a little bit introspective. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3. And you show that you're a letter from Christ delivered by us. That you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. In other words, our lives are on display. So I don't know about you, Justin, but sometimes when I think of my life on display, it's not always the most comforting thought. Okay, that you're constantly being watched, and that you're walking around, and the guys know you are. I must say, it was fantastic for a while to move to Langebaan, where we moved from a small town called Azeventem, where everyone knew everyone. And you couldn't go anywhere, like there was only one supermarket, and that was that. You couldn't go anywhere without someone knowing who you were. And I want to say that it's Langebaan, although I thought it was bigger, it's feeling like that very quickly again. And so it feels like we're constantly being watched. And that can either be like a, or it can be, wow, opportunity. And I really hope that we do feel like, actually, when we leave it today, that there's something of an opportunity to shine Jesus, to display him, rather than walking around with a, you know, because I think we've, Christians sometimes have got a little bit of a back foot approach, like, woe is me, whereas actually we should be on the forefront. And so, I'll tell you a quick story. I'll be vulnerable. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I remember it was probably 2 weeks in, standing in a queue to Home Affairs, okay? If you want to know that if you still have demons, all right, go stand in Home Affairs for two lines. And I promise you, it has a way of bringing stuff out in you, okay? And I remember standing in Home Affairs, and I was probably about four or five people from the front, and I heard just this murmuring. And then all of a sudden, announcement was made from the front, sorry, system's offline. And I was like, you've taken a day's leave to be there. You've stood for about 2 hours. You're four from the front, and all you need to do is pick up a document. And it's system's offline. And you're like, Lord Jesus. But that was not my response. Okay. I wish it was, but I'm talking 2 weeks after giving my life to the Lord. I stormed out of that place. And as I got towards the entrance of Home Affairs, I took one step out and I dropped an F-bomb. And you guys know what that is. And as I did it, I locked eyes. The first person that I saw was the pastor of the church that I'd grown up in. And he knew that I had just given my life to the Lord. He had heard about it, another small town. And I can tell you right now, I felt two things. The first was this, that I am no longer responsible for just my own actions, but I represent something much greater. And the second thing was this, that I grieved the Lord. And that's the thing that hurt the most. That's the thing that actually made me never want to do it again, was because I knew I grieved him in a moment. It wasn't about the pastor. It was that I grieved the Lord. So in our family, in our workplace, in the community that we're working into, and in this church, we have a responsibility towards one another to shine Jesus, to be those open letters read by all. And I'm not saying it's an easy thing. Okay, the Lord's working in my heart about opening wider and wider and wider. It's uncomfortable, but it's necessary for us to keep growing, to keep moving, to keep... It's necessary. William Barclay said this, "Herein lies a great truth, which is at once an inspiration, okay, but an awful warning, that every man is an open letter for Jesus Christ. Every Christian, whether he likes it or not, is an advertisement for Christianity. The honor of Christ is in the hands of his followers. We judge a shopkeeper by the kinds of goods he sells. We judge a craftsman by the kinds of articles he produces. We judge a church by the kind of men and women it creates. And therefore, men judge Christ by his followers." And just when you think all hope is lost, remember I said that there is an encouraging aspect to this. And Scripture is littered with people who have actually are great advertisements for Christianity. And so in an effort to build our faith, not just break it, our thoughts down, I felt like it would be good. I was reading through Hebrews 11. Man, Hebrews 11 has got to be some of the greatest Scripture ever. It really does. And so I want to give us one Old Testament. I'm going to cheat a little bit and you'll see why now. Okay, I want to give us one Old Testament example and one New Testament example. And then we'll speak about our own lives too. So Hebrews 11, these are the heroes of old. Every story needs a hero, right, Ricky? Okay, thank you. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And Hebrews 11, 32 onward says this, "How much more do I need to say? It would be too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets," all the guys that Seth just spoke about. "By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death." Jeepers. All of a sudden, my life is like, yeah, well, this Sunday I went to church. I managed to get there on time. Like, really, it feels like dismal in comparison to some of these guys and how they lived. "But others were tortured," it says, "refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world." I love that. I love that line. "They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and in holes." Guys, these guys knew what it was like to be a Christian. It was costly. I want to say they didn't even have the Bible yet. Jesus had not yet come. What did they know about their God that caused them to live in this way? And I would say that they knew their God, not in terms of understanding. They knew him. They walked with him. They walked with him. Their chapter is finished. Yours and mine is still being written. I wonder, what will our lives say? What will our lives say? One specific man's life that said a lot, okay, was Paul. We've been having a look at his letters today. Of the 13 chapters he contributed towards this book, there was enough evidence that he himself was a letter of Christ. Romans, justification by faith. 1 Corinthians, unity and order in Christ. 2 Corinthians, defending ministry authority through Christ. Galatians, freedom from legalism in Christ. Ephesians, unified body of Christ. Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Good works and godly living for Christ. There are multiple examples and chapters of this guy's life written down. He was an open letter read by all. He says this one thing in Philippians 1:21, and I would say if Paul's letter was opened here in front of us today, this would probably be the first line. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And for him, it actually wasn't about living or dying. Have you noticed we make so much about the fact that we're either preparing for our life here or preparing for us to pass away, but actually, eternity is what was on Paul's mind. How, with the time that I have now, do I introduce people to Jesus so that then and there we could spend eternity together with the one who is worthy? Our second point, the way in which it would be written, and that's by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, this letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It's carved not of tablets of stone, but on human hearts. You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, what I didn't do was go, and I don't know if you guys were similar in this, what I didn't do was go and create a whole bunch of different laws for myself. Okay, so what I didn't do was go, okay, I need to stop swearing. I need to stop sleeping with my girlfriend. I need to stop smoking and drinking. I need to be a better Christian. Okay. I didn't do it, and I want to say there is a far better way, and this is the beauty of the new covenant. This is the beauty of the new covenant. You know, Zechariah 4:6, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit. It is by the Spirit, says the Lord. You see, the Lord's not interested in behavioral modification or religious effort. Okay. His word says this in 2 Corinthians 3:17, that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, what I love about the Holy Spirit is the fact that when I invited Him into my life, He didn't place something on me. He didn't hold me to an external standard, for He knew that was part of the first covenant and we couldn't live up to it. But there was something of an inward change of my heart as I let Him, that actually He brought about conviction. And He showed me my sin, and here's what's better. He gave me the power to be able to overcome it. Guys, if we walk out here, if you walked out of a preach one day and you're going like, oh, there was something in that, like I really need to apply that to my life, and then you wonder why nothing changes. It's because we've just written a new law for ourselves. And actually, we need to come back to the way that God's intended it, a much better way, through a better covenant, mediated by Jesus, because He's written it onto our hearts through His Spirit. Is this making sense? Yes, sir. The last point is this. The author Himself. The author Himself. Are there any avid readers here? Guys who really just enjoy a good book? Okay, I thought Marissa would be one. Oh, David as well. They both enjoy reading. And so, for the most part, where's my Bible? I did bring my Bible, like the one with paper. There we go. So, for most books, on the front cover, you will have something of a title, am I correct? Right? And then generally towards the bottom here or somewhere on the front page, you will have the author's name and maybe a little catchphrase. On the back, you have generally a little synopsis of what the story is about, okay? And then you get an autobiography, okay? Some guys don't know if that exists, but I was thinking to myself, if this book had an autobiography, what verse would it be? And there are actually many, many to choose from, but I don't think anyone describes the author, or any one of these verses describe the author as best as Colossians 1:15-20. Many of you will know this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You see, not only is the author, but he's also the perfecter of our faith. And if we invite him into our lives, he invites us into his story. And his story and his plan and the whole story of that book is a redemption of you and I and everyone else that calls this place their home. And so we work to that end. And so what I love about the author is when I met him, he didn't just try and sell me a copy. And I want to know if you're here today and actually you've heard the gospel peddled, and maybe it's been something that you've put up with. And maybe it's been actually something that you've heard before and maybe even closed your ear to. I want to say that this author actually desires relationship. He desires to be known and for you to know him. And this knowledge, this knowing is not a knowledge of an understanding. It's an invitation to intimacy, to be able to know him at every level. And it comes from him. And I feel like there's an invite there for us today. Has this become a good read? Or something that we've had to do because, well, we're in a relationship with the Lord. What does that relationship look like? Or have we got to know the author of this book? I can tell you right now, it will have a profound impact on your life, on my life, the life of anyone in Langebaan here, if this is taken at its word. Two more scriptures, Ephesians 2, 12 to 13. I don't think I gave that to you, sorry, Vitu. Remember, maybe this is a reminder for us today. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you remember that time? Do you remember that time where you were separated from him and there was no hope? But now. I love those but now moments in scripture. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have now been brought near by the blood of his son. You've been brought near. And I want to say, for the call that went out through the prophetic today during the meeting, God was evidently saying something that actually I think we've fallen into sometimes, a little bit of a standoffish. I'm not that guy, or I don't have that, or you've been brought near by the blood of his son. He's destined you to walk in something. It's important that we find our identity in him and we walk in that. I want to say, push in. Push in. So this is coming off a little bit more strong. But I need us to hear that because I feel like it's God's heart. Push in when it's uncomfortable. Push in when you don't know how.